record this sermon. All right. We're going to be talking this morning about specific change in partnering with God. And that's an awesome thing. One of the things that we begin to fail to realize sometimes is that God has a plan for our lives, but He doesn't do it for you. He does it with you. And that's a real important point. And many times we have people that feel like, well, all you got to do is lay hands on somebody and kazam, it's all done, it's taken care of, don't need to do anything else. Then there's the other people that go to 12-step programs and do all kinds of stuff. Thank you, God, but I can do it myself. You ever hear that kind of thing? They don't say it, but that's basically what they're saying. You need both. You need God, and we need you engaged, working as a partnership with God. I want to tell you these two stories. This is my favorite story. We have tons of stories from our Uganda days, and Carolyn has some scary snake stories, and we have all this stuff. But this one is my favorite. I was sitting at our table that serves for us to eat at, but also for my place to study, and we're involved in building a Bible school, as I said, and we had classes going, and I'm training the locals so they can take over as the teachers when we're gone and an administrator when I'm gone. And I'm one day just working diligently, and I kept hearing this sound. I'm ignoring it. I'm shutting out. And all of a sudden, finally, I said, what is that? So I looked out the window, and there's a wall of fire, literally 75 to 100 feet long, and it's going 20 to 30 feet in the air. And it's heading the wrong direction. And I'm going, oh, no, what is that about? Well, these reeds grow about this tall, and they're really dry at the time of the year. And they're supposed to go out and get rid of those so we can make it into farmland. Well, they didn't do that. Turned out, I ran outside and found out that the guy who's in charge of all the workers decided to just torch the thing. Well, the problem is a real strong wind came, just a ferocious wind, and was driving it toward a small village grouping of houses with thatched roofs that would just go like that. They'd be on fire. And guess who would have been financially responsible for rebuilding their homes? Okay? And there's no fire departments there. There's no police to call. There's nothing. It's just us. And I don't know what to do. I have to be honest with you. All kinds of fearful thoughts went through my mind. So I put on my boots and ran out toward the fire. I thought, I've got to be able to do something. And the rubber boots, because of all the poisonous snakes that the fire, you know, dries out of there. And all of a sudden, this voice in my head just said, stop, just be still. So I stopped and thought, what do I do now? And this voice said, speak to the fire. I'm thinking, what? So, you know, so I stopped, looked at this big wall of fire, and then I realized that's God talking to me. God's more powerful than that fire. So all of a sudden, I looked around first to make sure nobody's listening because I didn't want to be embarrassed if this doesn't work. Oh, great man of faith. And I spoke to the fire. I said, fire, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop. And I'm not exaggerating. Within 1 second, that strong wind that was forcing that fire going one direction immediately changed 180 degrees and now it's blowing the other way ferociously. And it blew and it blew and it blew and it blew. And what happened, it stopped the wall of fire. And because it's already burned over here, it burned itself out. And that was the end of that. There's a powerful God in our lives. And He can do all kinds of wonderful things if we will allow Him to have that kind of power in our lives. So it's not just about burning reeds in Africa. It's also about us here who sometimes feel like we're on fire in our situations. I want to tell you this other story, too. We had a trip to Nairobi. Anybody ever been to Africa? Anybody here? All right. Good. Have some fellow travelers. And we used to have a favorite hangout. Uganda was still in the throes of the aftermath of the wars that were there, and so it was a difficult place to live. But there was a place that was so cool to go to. It was called Nairobi. And you'd go there, and they actually had flush toilets. They actually had electricity that worked. It actually had stores with stuff in it. I mean, it was awesome. So we would go there, a 12-hour journey, and you go down this road. You're dodging these huge holes all the way through to get to the border point to go into Kenya. So you never left your house before daylight, because the guides are the policemen and the soldiers during the daytime with their nice uniforms on and their submachine guns. At night until daylight, they're out roaming around at night in civilian clothing with the same submachine guns, robbing people. So they would put things in the way to block a road, and you're blocked, and here's a submachine gun in your face, and give us your money. Thank you very much. And so you didn't go out at night. So we're lying there in bed. We're going to wait till 7 o'clock. Daylight's 12 hours. You just barely get there as it's going to be dark in Nairobi. And so we're laying there. And all of a sudden, I don't know what time it was. I don't remember. But it was early morning, still pitch black outside. And Carolyn said, "Are you awake?" "Yeah, I'm awake." And she said, "Well, I am too." She says, "I feel like we're supposed to leave now." And I said, "Well, that's funny. I feel the same thing." Now, remember, it's dangerous out there. So we got in our car, loaded the kids up. We had already loaded the night before all the stuff we're going to take with us. And they laid down and went back to sleep. We headed off down the road. And, man, there is nobody on the road but us, because they're all afraid too. And so we kept going and we kept going. And there's a certain place you make this large bend in the road, and there's jungle over here, and the baboons are watching you go around the corner. And you go, and straight ahead is the checkpoint before you go on the way through Kenya to Nairobi. Had a great trip. Nothing. That night, we got a phone call. "Larry, are you guys all right?" "Well, yeah, we're okay. Why?" Turned out that very place you make that bend, thieves were there with their submachine guns, and the cars would turn. There's a blockage. They would hit their brakes, and all these people are dead. Then they'd rob the stuff out of it and push the car over. Next car, same thing. Next car, same thing. Finally, the army heard about it, came, and they shot their guns, and the other people shot their guns. They finally chased them off, and all these people are dead. If we had left and not listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit to say, "Leave early," which is against all reason, we would have been one of those beside the road, dead in our vehicle. Just a fact of life. God will protect you. God is with you. But the power of God to do whatever you need, it's awesome. I want to talk about that, though. God's power is only as strong as you allow it to be in your life. In Genesis chapter 1 to 3, do you remember the story of Eve, Adam? God said, "Okay, you can have all the freedom in this garden you want. Eat every tree, eat the leaves, whatever you want. Just leave that tree alone." So he made them with the free will. God created you with a free will. You're not robots. You have a free will. So that's where the partnership comes in. God's awesome power is like a great big river to flow through for you, but you can choose to not have that power flow through your life or to have it flow through your life. And that's the theological point I'm going to give you this morning. It's a balance between God's awesome power and your free choices. Isn't that fun? That means that God made it possible for you to be creative in that way. You can allow the force, power of God, His Holy Spirit, to flow through you and do wonderful things in your life. You have that privilege. I want to talk about a scripture that is one of my favorite things. Then we're going to tie it all together and say, where is this going? You'll see in a moment. There's practical instruction in this book. How many of you have found that if you open this book, it's just chock full of good things for you? Yeah. It's got instruction. It's got advice. Had a young man that came to me say, we've got this great business. Things are just going great. Well, how long have you been going? 6 months. It's awesome. And, we're about to build this great big house. They're going to give us a special loan. I said, whoa, wait, time out. What you need to consider is a scripture in Proverbs. It says, first, prepare your field, that's your business, and then build your home. So you need to make sure that business is more stable long term before you start going to a debt for this great big giant house. He took my advice, they waited, and they had a dip in their business, and they would have lost the house, they would have lost the business, and they'd have lost a whole lot more and been deep in debt. Because the scripture was very clear and informative to them, it kept them out of problems in their life. So if you're looking for guidance, don't go looking for somebody who does palm reading or tea leaves. Go to this book. Yeah. Right. It's the greatest source book for guidance in your life. So what I want to do is read a scripture to you, Proverbs 25:2. Okay? Some of you are taking notes. That's awesome. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but here's my favorite part. It's the honor of kings to search out a matter. Now, there's two kinds of people, basically, in life. That's Proverbs 25:2. There are those people who live like kings. They live above problems in their heart, mind, attitudes. And then there are those people who are always under all the issues of life. Do you want to be a king or do you want to live under like a slave? It's your choice. And the deal is with God is He's hidden the treasures of wisdom in this book. And if you go and find specific guidance, then you can live like a king now. Or you can fail to look in the book, fail to follow this great advice, and live like a slave under the issues of this life. It's your choice. How about you? You want to live like a king? Yeah, of course you do. And so we're going to talk about investigating what's here. Here's a practical tip. Ephesians 4:22-24. I'm going to read this to you. And this is such a powerful, powerful scripture. I don't even remember which version I got this from, but it was one of them. Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off, and I underline that, put off, concerning the former behavior of the old man, or the old way you used to live, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you can put on the new man, or new way of behavior, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the Bible is very clear. You need to take off the old way of doing things to make room to put on the new thing. But if you don't put on the new thing, it doesn't do any good to put off the old thing. Right. Have you ever talked to somebody that, I don't know what the problem is. I got hooked on drugs when I was 21. I was at college finishing up and we had drugs that night and I got hooked and I can't get off. And I've just tried so hard to get off and I make it for a few days and then I fall back. Have you ever heard anybody with a story kind of like that in some area of their life? And you say, well, there's a reason for that. What have you done to replace that in your life? Right. What have you put on to replace the off?
Right.
Okay? You got it. You're smart people. So what I want to do is let you know, I went through the scriptures. And I read through the Bible every year at least once, along with study and stuff. But this is just kind of a private, ongoing thing. And so go through the Bible every year just to keep the context of the whole flow. This year I'm going to make it twice through like that. And what I found by going through is that starting in Genesis, there are on-off kind of scriptures, taking off the old, putting on the new, all through the Bible. It's not just in the New Testament, which we're going to read one and stick to that scripture for a while. And I found, are you ready for this? 63 on-off scriptures, practical advice. And I found them by doing this. I kept an active thing of on-off scriptures, and I'd draw a little light switch in the border of my Bible, and then went back and found them after I was through going through the Bible and typed them up. And I had, you know, pages of scriptures, on-off scriptures. They've been so helpful through the years. And I would like to challenge you, the next time you start reading through the Bible, you might consider doing that. Draw a little light switch next to it or some other symbol, and then go back through and page by page, find them again, type it out, or however you choose to do it. Then you've got it for a lifetime to help you. Anyway, I want to read the scripture. I always ask people in the counseling room, we have 1,400 people on a campus, so how many people do you think have problems on that campus? About 1,400, right? And so periodically people come say, oh, Pastor Larry, can we get together? I have this thing I need to talk about, I need some advice and so on. So, well, sure, and sign them up for an appointment. They come into my office and we sit and talk. And pretty soon it's pretty obvious that they need to put off, put on. And so I'll ask them a question. We're going to do a paradigm thing here for you. And through this paradigm, you're going to learn how to take care of the situation in your life. And one of the things, by the way, I always do is require everybody that I do counseling with, they have to do homework. And the homework is always tied to the problem. Because without the homework, it doesn't work. Okay?
Right.
Well, you got it. So what I want to do is to ask you this question. When is a thief not a thief? Here's the common answer I get back. Well, when they're not stealing. I say, have you ever seen the movies where a guy got busted for a bank heist and they're now in jail, the bars go clang, and they've got 10 years they get to spend in there, and they're laying on their cots, and what do these guys talk about? Now the next time, we're going to plan it better, and then we won't get caught next time, right? Crooks usually aren't real smart, okay? They don't have it figured out yet. Well, we're going to talk about the Bible says, when is a thief, and how to break it. But first, I'm going to give you one more story. Old men tell stories. Is that okay with you? All right. Another story about a guy named John. I had just started being a pastor. This is a long time ago. And back in the early 70s. Anybody that was alive in the early 70s? Yeah, one guy, two. Okay, three. Good. All right. Some older people, not as old as me, but older. I had a guy come, and he was 50-ish. He was 30 years older than me, at least. And he said, Larry, I don't know what to do about this. I've got a problem. So we got together in my office, and we're talking. And his problem was that he was in a situation where the alcohol was beginning to take over in his life. And he saw that coming, and he says, my dad had this problem. I don't want to be like my dad who died an alcoholic. I got to get rid of this, but I can't do it. I've tried. I can't stop. What do I do? So we went through his whole life each afternoon what he did when he left work. He worked in a place that they got pretty dirty, and you're going to understand why I said that in a minute. And they would all, hey, John, let's go down to the bar together. And they would throw a few brewskis back, you know, there at the bar, and talk and laugh and chat and then get home late to the wives whose the dinner's hot and the wife, you know, that whole thing. It was just not a good situation. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do, John. First thing you do is you need to confess to your wife you've got a problem. He says, she already knows it. I said, well, tell her so she knows that you're admitting to her that you've got a problem. That's a first stage. Always confess your sins to one another that you can be healed. That's a very strong scriptural principle. So he went home, and here's what he did. Instead of turning left to go by the bar, he now left the parking lot, went right, went around out of his way a bit to go home. Didn't pass the bar. No temptation. He's going right instead of left. He told the guys, look, I'm not going to be drinking with you anymore. I just have my personal reasons. I just don't want to do this anymore. I love you guys. I'll have fun at work, but I'm done going to the bar. Okay, John. You know. So he made a decision that he had to stick with now. Another point. When he got home, he used to have a favorite soft, easy chair, lay back, have a six-pack cold waiting for him, just have him sitting there and pop one after another in his easy chair, dirty clothes. I said, look, here's what you do. You first of all, get rid of all the alcohol. Okay, we'll do that. Next, walk in, go straight to the shower, clean up instead of sitting in your dirty clothes, put on fresh clothes. Your wife will like that. You'll smell better, okay? She'll like that. And then next thing is, you're going to go to a different chair. So he went to a small desk they had that they shared, he and his wife, and sat in that chair. And I said, read your Bible in place of the booze and pray for a while in place of the booze. And then I said, go over and set the table for dinner, because he never helped with anything. After he picked her up off the floor the first night, you know, she was shocked. And that's that started becoming a habit pattern. By the way, 6 to 8 weeks, consistent behavior, a whole new habit pattern. Okay? That's all it takes. So he began to follow things. The last I talked to John, years later, he did not have a problem with that. He had dealt with it and was successful. Okay, when is a thief not a thief? Okay, let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians 4:25, okay? Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, that's the putting off. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that has a need. What is a thief? He's lazy and he's selfish. Those two things, lazy and selfish. So to deal with that, the Bible is very wise, of course, because God has all wisdom. The way to deal with it is to first have him work with his hands to offset the laziness, and that becomes a new habit pattern. And then secondly, to give to others. So instead of being selfish, you now become a giver to other people's needs. Isn't that awesome? So usually the healing power is to do the opposite of what you've been doing. But first you have to figure out what's the root of what you've been doing. And that's where the Bible is so good. You go in there and dig it out. So when is a thief not a thief? When he's working, giving to others. Simple as that. I've never had anybody give me the right answer yet, by the way. And there's been hundreds of times I've asked that question. It's a paradigm shift for him. So I want to go through this with you. Then we're going to do something this morning. First of all, you have to admit you got a problem to the appropriate people. You don't tell everybody in the world. You tell appropriate people. The people who will be supportive, the people who love you, the people who will pray with you, the people who will encourage you, the people who will not put you down, laugh at you, they'll say, that's smart to try to do this, okay? Secondly, get people to pray for you. Get your own prayer team together. Hey, folks, I need help. I need you to surround me. I need you to come and be my encouragement. When I'm being tempted, I need somebody I can pick up that phone and I can call and I can say, I need help. I just don't know if I can stay on track with this thing. And they can encourage you, pray for you, or maybe even come over to your house and spend some time with you till you've gotten past this point. All right? And then do the things that make a new habit pattern, whatever it is you find in here. Now, you may be thinking, wow, he has counseled a lot of people. After the service, I'm going to go ask him what to do about that. Well, I want to tell you that I'm only on vacation here. And but my son-in-law is not on vacation. And he's the pastor of the church. And so, you know what I'd strongly recommend? He's got a lot of wisdom for his age. He amazes me over and over. Go to him and say, Pastor Ben, I have this I want to deal with. Would you get together with me? And then have him impart some of that wisdom to you, help you find out what's in this book to work with. Would you do that? Okay, you're nodding? All right, here's the homework assignment. You're going to go through the book, and you're going to start looking for the answers for the specific thing that you're battling. It doesn't matter what it is. It's obvious if it's pornography, you just unplug the thing that you're working with, you know, get rid of the issues of magazines coming to your house, but you got to replace. And what you replace with is a big issue. Now, I want to tell you, for those who are married, when you start making that wonderful transition, you're going to find that your wife will start loving you more because you've changed. She'll start eventually trusting you more. Same with you husbands. When your wife starts changing, instead of nagging, she's encouraging, then there's going to be that love flow that's going to build and just increase your relationship. It works from all directions. I'm going to give you a horror story and then close, okay? I have a dear brother that's on our campus, and I've always thought there's something a little funny, and he just lost his job recently working for the state of Oregon. I said, well, what happened? You know, you had a great job. You're good at what you do. You got the right education. What happened? And he kind of hung his head and he said, I was doing pornography on company time and it was getting a hook in me and I couldn't stop. And they were watching me and I didn't realize. And they called me to the office and let me go. The reason I brought that up is this. Your life is not your own. It has an impact on your mate, an impact on children if you have them. It has an impact on friends and can have an impact on your job. It can impact every part of your life. Any what we call secret sins, they're not secret. You think they are, they're not. And this morning I want to challenge you, if there's something that has been nagging at you, something that has just taken hold of you and you've been trying to shake it off and can't quite muster up whatever it takes to get through that and to get rid of that and be overcomer over it, I want to challenge you, this is the morning for a start in your life. We're going to pray this morning that God is going to begin that force of the Holy Spirit that can come and cleanse and redirect and change and begin to bring the power right there resident to flow through you.
Right.
And that then you are going to start working at things you need to do to open that big valve to let that flow through you and bring cleansing, healing, and overcoming power. Are you in with that?
Yes.
Why don't we stand this morning? Can you do that? Has this been practical enough for you?
Yeah.
All right. Father, we just are so challenged this morning by your word. It's healthy. It's good. It's informative. It's powerful. And Father, I pray that each one here, anyone that's fighting something in their life, that they have a hook in them and they can't let go of it. They can't push it away. That, Father, just this morning begin the first step in a process of them being set free in their life of that very thing. Father, we just take our lives and open it up. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to flow through each life represented here this morning. We ask that you begin to open their eyes to see the Scripture. That's the key to their personal life. And Father, that people begin to see their lives change, begin to say, we're excited for what we're seeing. Tell me your secret. What's happened? What's changed? Why are you so much more successful? Why are you changed in such a dramatic way? That is fun to be around you. It's fun to feel what's coming off of you now. We just ask that you would cause that to be in our place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Have a great day. Don't forget there's a right outside this door.
Thank you, folks.